That final song was a part of our few CDs that we had in Japan, and the CD changer in the car got stuck, and that was what I got to listen to for quite some time. And there were many occasions in which I would just pull in and just let that play over me repeatedly, and I started to close my eyes and listen to that and listen to y'all sing. And I thought, no, I better pay attention to make sure I need to get up there and get talking. And so I've enjoyed some of the songs and being able to listen and participate in worship with you this morning. If you would, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. If you've downloaded the sermon notes or if you've got your bulletin, open up to that center page. And I wanted to share with you a couple things that I want you to take home with you. I want you to write down and add into your list of study and your daily devotional time. There's going to be some questions there that will lead you through a study and devotion throughout this week. There's some questions maybe for you and your family to spend time talking about throughout maybe a breakfast or a meal together, an afternoon devotional. There's some questions that if you're a part of an online group or some other place where you could have some discussion, lead some of these questions and let them guide you through Galatians chapter 3. This morning, I want to start off with this. Either God is everything, or He is nothing. Either the Bible is truth, or it is deceiving. Jesus is either the way, or He is in the way. I want us to think about this as the truth, the polarity and distinction of what the gospel really represents. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul is going to bring such a high vision of who Christ is, what God has done throughout the ages, that there is no other choice but to accept. And he says that it is foolishness to do anything other, especially once you have received and understood and accepted God's grace and message. Galatians chapter 3 is going to talk about faith. It's going to talk about the way that we're interacting into God's plan, that not by our works, not by our merit, not by our words, not by our actions, but because of faith through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we have an opportunity to be in relationship with God. Galatians chapter 3 is going to talk about the value of what the law was and the purpose and what it really meant. TJ in his communion talk leads us towards that. In Hebrews, talking about the significance of the law, but then the greater of what Christ came to provide. Galatians chapter 3, it'll summarize and it will bring us to this distinction that Christ is over all. And the unique thing that He provides for this world is spectacular. And so Paul is left to this idea that how could you taste of this greatness and walk away from it? How could you accept something so noble and wonderful, a free gift from God, and yet turn away from this? Galatians chapter 3 is going to help us understand what faith is all about. And as TJ was talking about Hebrews, I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want us to notice a couple things that faith really leads us towards, because here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see several examples of men and women of great faith and character. They are recognized for their actions and what their actions, because of their faith, really mean within our lives. I want us to notice that it starts off talking about Abel, who was able to give sacrificially, that what he was given, he recognizes, came first from God. What he's being asked to give is only a reflection of a portion of what God has given. What he is giving is only an indication that he is trusting that God will give more. Maybe you have a relationship like that in your life. In a small way, in an earthly way, I think back to my relationship with Kara as we were starting to date, as she was going to go to the grocery store or do some other routine, mundane task. It was of no cost to me. It was of no great sacrifice to go to the grocery store with her or for her, because I enjoyed being with her. Abel is giving back to God because he has already given to him. He knows that God will continue to give. This act of faith is actually an act of great awareness of the value of who God is. Enoch. Scripture doesn't tell us very much about the wrestling and the struggles of Enoch, but we know that in just a few short years, Noah will come on the scene, and that all of mankind was enthralled in this great evil and ungodliness. We know that Enoch was wrestling with great trouble as well. And so his walk and his talk with God was not some sort of just peaceful, gentle walk in the garden, in the sunrise or the sunset, but it was the wrestling with the trouble and the challenges of life, focusing on God rather than the world. Noah, learning, deciding to act rightly and different than all those around him, regardless of the ridicule, regardless of the consequences, in this moment, Noah was going to live by faith. Abraham, as he is called to move to this new promised land, as God is giving him this opportunity, by faith he moves out of what is comfortable, what is known, and what is secure, and he goes to live as God has called him to live. I wonder if our lives, in some small measure, reflect a life of faith, or if it reflects a life of routine. For none of these individuals were in just a routine or tradition, but they were purposely seeking after God. And it changed their life. In fact, there's an example in Hebrews chapter 11 of Rahab. This prostitute, as Scripture poignantly continues to call her, Rahab the prostitute. As she is given this opportunity to house the spies as they're getting ready to come in, as Israel is about to destroy her home and her homeland, she hears the stories of the greatness of God, and she decides from that moment on that that God is greater than her gods. And so she changes her allegiance when she sees the power of God. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul is going to talk about this faith that changes our life, our actions, our words, our deeds in such clear ways. But he says, you Galatians, you are so foolish because you have traded what was valuable for something that is so temporary. In Proverbs chapter 6, we read of a great list of things that are foolish. The entire chapter gives great definition to what is foolish. But I want us to hear what God has to say about the things that are foolish and so short-sighted. In Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16, it says there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, or maybe our computers that are quick to rush towards what is evil. False witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict within the community. These things are ungodly. These things are foolish. These are the things that define those that are living foolishly, who are giving up the promise of what God has given. And so Paul writes to this church, and he says, you are foolish when you live this way. Come back to the greatness of the faith that God has first brought to you. In Galatians chapter 3, we're going to see that Paul is going to give us some definition of what the value of this faith is, how it really works within their lives and in their world. And I want you to see these four things that are significant in their lives. Number one, we are called children of God. From this created place, from this place of enemy or against God, sinner, those that are opposed to God's nature. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, as they disobey, throughout time, each and every one of us continues to live against God. We are clothed with Christ, Paul would say. We are wrapped in His clothing through faith in baptism. Think for about a moment of just this worldly example of our Dr. Branch as he puts on his medical jacket, that white jacket that he would wear, and as he's now allowed to go in places in the hospital that you and I would not be allowed to go with freedom, except that we were sick or in need of treatment. Think about our elder Chuck Downing, who puts on his captain's uniform, who's able to go someplace in the airport or in the plane that he wishes to go. He never wants to take that off. He doesn't want to join the lines that you and I might be a part of as we try to get onto an airplane, as we try to get a seat, as we try to get help. No, he puts that jacket on, and he is now recognized as one who is different. We are clothed with Christ. And in verse 2, Paul writes about the Spirit that is in you. God in his very nature wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And this is all a part of the promise that was first given through Abraham, that all nations would be blessed. As God brings about this great promise, he helps them to recognize that it is by faith that they are a part of this. Look in Galatians chapter 3 with me for just a moment. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in the first six verses, and we notice what God is calling our attention to, because we wrestle with this. We struggle with this idea of what is temporary and what is eternal. What is of great value somehow slides off, and that's why Paul talked about this last week, that I've been crucified with Christ. I continue to place myself on this altar. I know that what I am is unworthy, but I still give all of this so that I can join in what Christ has given. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. You foolish Galatians, he says, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And you might be able to interpret that also, not just crucified, but that he was resurrected. That is the story. That is the buzz that is going on around this world, that they know that Christ was hung on the cross, but yet he was put in the grave and did not stay there. That there are individuals, many, who are testifying that they've had interaction, they've had conversation, that they know that Jesus is no longer dead. And this is the story that they've heard. He says in verse 2, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you had heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by the means of the Spirit, are now trying to finish by the means of the flesh? This word flesh, Paul will use over and over again throughout all of his writings as he struggles to help us understand this division of humanity, this understanding that we are somehow tempted and led astray in our sin. This is where the struggle really meets within our spiritual world. The sinful and the spiritual are struggling for dominance and prominence within our life. And when we give over to the flesh, when we give over to the temporary, when we let go of the things that are spiritual, when we let go of the power of God, we give in to the flesh and the work and things that we might be able to do to either accomplish it or delusion ourselves. Verse 4, have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain? So again, I ask you, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you have heard? And he's going to tie this all the way back to Abraham in verse 6. And so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This believing is not just internal in your mind, but it brought action, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham was able to live, to move, and to obey what God had commanded. This is the promise that Paul brings about into the understanding of what is true for these believers, what is true for you and I, as we think about our life really of faith. We are not justified by our works, but we are made right because we first believe in the Almighty God. Paul will give definition between what the law is and what God has really brought about. In Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 11, says, clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Paul talks about the greatness of what this faith really brings is a relationship with God. It is God's Spirit living in us, and it is all the world being blessed. Not because I am some sort of great vessel or mouthpiece, not because you are so perfect in your ways, but because God is living in you and he is made known through our weakness. Paul is going to talk about the reason that the law was given first. This promise was given to Abraham, and then the law comes. And in verse 19, it says so clearly what the reason was. It had value, but not everlasting value. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions, sins of the people. As God is making this promise with Abraham, as God is preparing the story to bring Christ, God brings the law to bring help for those who have lost their way. It is because of the transgressions until the seed of whom the promise referred to had come. The law was given through the angels and the entrusted mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one, but God is one. God is the one who came, and God is the one who is fulfilling this promise. And so Paul finishes with this great picture. Through all this history, through all of this even disregarding of what God has first given to us, these individuals who have lived by faith now are living by the flesh, living by the things that they can account or accredit to themselves. He's drawing them back and he reminds them again. And so Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For you were all baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. And in this moment, Paul recognizes that there has been a crucifixion. There has been a death. There has been a joining of these individuals with Christ. And that changes the world, though the world still is in turmoil. We know this because he's writing, because the church is struggling with this Jew and Gentile relationship. Paul is saying that in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is no division, but in the world, in our flesh, we struggle with this. He's going to write a letter to Philemon about slaves and masters and the struggle of what this really looks like. He says here that there is neither slave nor free. And we know that in this context, this world continues to struggle with these two. But he goes on, he says there is neither male nor female. Again, we struggle with understanding the definition of how these are supposed to be, because he completes this and he says there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Paul draws such a strong line to raise the value of what it means to be faithful in living for Christ. This morning, I want to challenge us to see that there is a great example of faith given through Scripture. There's a great understanding of what foolishness really means as we trade off something valuable for something less. And as we evaluate our life, as we see that oftentimes we have made that trade over and over again for what is eternal, for what is so short. God is calling us back through Galatians. So are these words from Galatians 1. I'm surprised that you're so quick to leave this faith. You foolish Galatians, these words might be said to us as we reflect on our life. This morning I want to challenge us that we lay down our life as a sacrifice, as a true commitment to following after God. Faith in Jesus Christ brings us into a relationship as we are the children of God. This morning, you have the opportunity to continue in this journey by faith, not by our own efforts, but by His grace, receiving His mercy. I want to challenge us, if there's anything that has been holding us back, our shepherds are standing by and they would love to talk with you and pray with you. We have our office available just throughout all week long. Come and talk to us, call us, or let's spend some time together praying and studying together. If you have not dedicated your life to Christ, if you have not been baptized and clothed with Christ, there is no greater time than now. This morning, as we live a life, let us live not in our traditions or our routines, but by faith through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and encourage each other with this song.
Lord, take my life. May